It's a blessing to be able to share what God's doing, what He has done. And we thank you, church, so much for your faithful support to the Discipleship Institute, part of the Rock of Ages. That's the department that sends the lessons into the prisoners. We have just a few students. We're bumping just a little over 14,000 students right now in prison studying the Word of God. Amen. And so that's a blessing. I shared with Pastor, you know, if the church has its own lessons to use when you get up and running in the jail and prison, that's fine. But if you run out, we've got about a little over 39,000 questions in those lessons. Amen. So we've got enough to keep them busy for a little while. This year, this past 23, we crossed the 1,300,000 graded lessons. And so God has blessed tremendously. From January of 23 to December, we had 1,221 that wrote in and said, we got saved doing this lesson. And so the fruit that it's bearing, amen, we praise the Lord for that. The Bible says in Romans 10 and verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We know it's the Word of God that's going to change the hearts of those that are incarcerated, amen. And that they don't need our condemnation, they're condemned already. They need our compassion. And if some having compassion, that's what makes the difference, amen. It's what Jude tells us. But they need that compassion, they need somebody that cares, amen. And I know what the Word of God did in my heart and in my life, amen. And if it can change me, it can change them too. But the prisoner is going to come out either more educated in crime, more a child of the devil. And remember when you was a kid growing up, you played hide and seek, somebody hid their eyes and counted, then they said, ready or not, here I come. That's the prisoner. Ready or not, they're coming out back into society. I'd much rather them come out with us reaching them with the Word of God and seeing their hearts and lives changed, amen, turned around for Christ, and be a citizen in the community that you're not fearful of, amen, because God's done a work in their hearts, amen. And so if you would continue to pray for us there, the need's always great. Anybody have a huge postage bill that you'd like to swap out? I'll swap out with anybody here, amen. Our postage runs us about $1,200 to $1,400 a week to mail those lessons. You say, preacher, that's a lot of postage. That's a lot of souls saved too, amen. And when you look at the returns on it, it's a great investment in eternity. And so we praise the Lord for what He's doing. I try to put a excerpt in the prayer letter every month from an inmate, something that they've written, and something that to try to let you see the fruit of what you're investing in. Philippians 4 and verse 17 says, not that I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. And so that's fruit that you've got laid up to your account in heaven, amen, as a result of your investment in the Rock of Ages, amen, the Discipleship Institute. And we've got some Bibles and New Testaments and things on the back table, and I'm not going to take a lot of time then. We've got some Bibles that are for sale. The sale of each one of those helps put two of the same version, or when I say version, it's all King James, the same material, the same notes that are in it are in the one that we give to the prisoner, only with a paperback on it, amen? And so anybody that purchases a Bible, if you need one, it helps two inmates get a Bible as well, amen? That's why I make mention of that. But we've got some other coloring books for the children and things of that nature. But stop by our table, see the things. Again, thank you, Pastor, for letting us come and be with you today. And we pray that we can be a help and a blessing to you and to your church. Again, thank you for your faithfulness. We could not do what God has called us to do without you helping us, amen, without churches like you investing in the lives of others, amen. And our church started this Sunday was our missions month kickoff too. If you'll notice on our prayer card, I am very local church pastor. My pastor knows where I'm at this morning, amen. But we live in Cleveland, Tennessee, but our church is in Dalton, Georgia. Now, that's local, amen. It's only a 30-minute drive to our church, amen. We're right on the state line there with both of them. And so that's why we're, it's two different states, but hey, we're just around the corner from one another. We're a member of our church because it's a soul-winning, it's a mission-hearted, not mission-minded, mission-hearted church. Our church supports about 120 21 missionary projects, missionaries, and I thank God for my pastor and the heart that he's got to reach out to souls around the world. Rock of Ages is, through the Bible lessons or our boots on the ground, I guess you could say it, our teams going into the prisons. We're in every state in the nation and 23 other countries around the world that we're involved in, amen, at, carrying the gospel to prisons. Not only prisons, but we also have a school outreach that teaches character under construction, character lessons and stuff. We've got a three-year curriculum program that is taught in a lot of the schools that open up to us to come in. We teach Bible classes in public schools. And so we praise the Lord for that. But God has given us a lot of opportunities to serve the Lord in many, many different facets of the ministry, and we praise the Lord for that. Debbie and I are in our, April starts year 38 for us with the Rock of Ages. We're part of the fixtures. They can't get rid of us now, amen. We're there, amen. We're rooted, amen. But God has been so good to us. When we started out with the Rock of Ages, we sold home, everything we had, bought a fifth wheel trailer, travel trailer, and that became our home for the next 11 and a half years. And we traveled a circuit from Florida to New Jersey to Wyoming. That was my prison circuit, Pastor, that we traveled. It messed my daughter up so bad she got married and moved to Kenya as a missionary, amen. It messed her up real bad. She got away from Dad and everything. No, and so God has blessed our family in just tremendous ways. And we have two grandchildren on the mission field, a third one headed there. And we just praise the Lord for how he's working, how he's blessed us for our service for him. Amen. Missions. You're starting this month your missions, amen, your missions conference next week. And I tell you what, missions is God's heartbeat, amen. It is. Without missions, the church becomes the Dead Sea, amen, only taking in and not sending out. And so it's a vital thing to have missions as a part of your church. It's the lifeblood of the church, amen. And I say that not just because I'm a missionary, but because that is what the Word of God teaches, amen. If you've got your Bibles with you this morning, open with me to the book of Exodus chapter 22 and verse 30. Exodus 22 and verse 30. I want to go to a pretty familiar verse of Scripture and try to give you what God's laid on my heart this morning. Pastor, if I remember right, he told me that lockdown, y'all didn't get locked up, have to go back to your cells till about 1:30, 2 o'clock, something like that. No, don't sweat. He told me not that long. But amen. I'm used to the officer coming in the back door, you know, and it's time for my congregation leaves then, amen. So I don't know if you have that or not, Pastor, but anyhow, if you can't enjoy yourself in your Father's house, where can you, amen? I love church. I love being in church. I love being a part of the work that God's called us to. And if you will, I'm going to pray, and then we'll read a verse of Scripture. Father, we come to you, Lord, and ask your blessing upon your word this morning. I pray that God, you would, Lord, give me clarity of thought and of speech this morning. Lord, call to my remembrance the things that, God, you would have me to say. I pray that, God, you would use your word this morning to speak to our hearts. Lord, challenge us from your word this morning. I pray that, God, you would have your will and your way in the hearts and lives of each and every individual that's gathered in here. Lord, if there be one here this morning that is not saved, God, that you'd convict and draw as only you can. I pray that, God, if there be those here this morning that are discouraged in the way, that God, you'd be their help and their encouragement this morning, Lord. Father, that you'd lift up and encourage that one. Father, I pray that, Lord, you just have your will in everything that's said and done. And Father, we'll praise you and we'll give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. In Exodus chapter 22 and verse 30, the Bible says, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none." I tell you what, if America needs anything today, it's somebody to stand in the gap, amen, to make up the hedge, to stand and proclaim the Word of God, to stand and be a light, amen. The Bible said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Amen. There's never been a day, I don't think, in our nation, as bleak as it is right now, where we need the light to shine brighter than it has in the past. Amen. We need God to do something in our nation. That's the only place in the Word of God, Ezekiel 22, verse 30, that the word gap appears. The word gaps appears also in Ezekiel 13, and verse 5. Ye have not gone up into the gaps, neither made up the hedge for the house of Israel to stand in the day of battle of the Lord. Amen. And so we see here that there's a need to stand in the gap. Amen. To make up the hedge. Amen. To be what God would have us to be. Amen. That God could work in the hearts and the lives of the lost. Amen. And so we need that today. We need it desperately. If you go over to the book of Romans and preacher, I'm not a gap man by no means. We talked about that a little bit yesterday, amen. There's no gap theory, amen. There's no gaps in the Word of God, amen. It covers it all. But if you read over in Genesis, well, let me back up to Romans chapter 12 first. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And if you take the G off of the good, the A off the acceptable, and the P off perfect, you got gap, amen. You can't stand in the gap unless you can prove what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God, amen. That's who God's looking for today. And well, let me, before I get to the gap that I was talking about, let me insert something else here. How many of y'all came looking for a job this morning? I know I got the right message, preacher. God sent me to interview for a gap man. We're going to do an interview this morning. God's looking for somebody to stand in the gap to make up the hedge. God's looking for that this morning. That's what Missions Conference is going to be all about, amen, is to challenge you to stand in the gap, amen, for what God needs on the other fields, amen, for the missionaries to go where they're going, amen. He needs missionaries to go, but he needs people in the church to stand in the gap, amen, to make up the hedge that God can get the work done that's needed in every land, every nation, every tongue, every people, that they can hear the Word of God this morning. We need somebody to stand in the gap. Now, when I said I'm not a gap man, let me go back. There was the first gap that happened in the Word of God is found in Genesis, but it's not like people think, amen. It says in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 9, and the Lord God said, called unto Adam and said, where art thou? A gap took place. There was a break in fellowship, preacher, that took place when Adam disobeyed God and ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil that God said not to eat of. There was a gap that took place. I mean, the first time that had ever happened, amen. That's why God said unto Adam, where art thou? Amen. He wasn't where he should have been, because when he and Eve heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the evening, they hid themselves. They'd never done that before, amen. Sin had never been present before, amen. But when sin entered in, Adam and Eve did not respond like they'd always responded. And God said, where art thou? Amen. And the thing, Dave, if we're going to stand in the gap, make up the hedge that God wants us to do, amen, we've got to be in the right place where God wants us, amen, listening to what the Word of God says, being obedient to the Word of God, allowing God to work in our hearts. So the question this morning, first question on your interview this morning is, where are you? Where are you? Not where is your church, not where is your pastor. All that's beside the point. Where are you this morning, amen? Because this church will never do for missions what God wants it to do till every member is doing what God would have them to do. Where art thou? Let me take you over to the book of Judges. Judges chapter 7. Remember when Gideon, God's telling him to go up against the Midianites? And if I can paraphrase for just a moment, Pastor, God has told Gideon, Gideon's afraid, he's fearful, amen. The Midianites are like the sands of the sea, like the stars of heaven without number, amen. I mean, they're outnumbered, I mean, greatly. And God tells Gideon to gather together the army, and he gathers together 32,000 men. They're still outnumbered. And God says there's too many of you because, and see, God knows our heart, amen? I don't know if any of y'all ever had a problem with pride. Okay, the rest of you liars, get your hands up. We all, pride's something every one of us are going to battle sometime or another, amen? We're all going to face that sometime. We get to thinking higher of ourselves than we ought to. 32,000, and God said it's too many. And he said, basically what he's saying is, I give you the battle, I give you the victory, and you're going to say, look what we did. He said, so you tell those that are afraid to go home. Preacher, are you brave enough to say that? Visitation day, bus visitation. No, if you're a little nervous, just stay home today. No, you wouldn't dare say that, would you, preacher? That first door is always the hardest door, amen. If you get past the first one, amen, the rest of them are easier. Same thing in the prison, that first cell you go to, the nervousness is there every time you go in. But if you can just get past that first one, 22,000 left. God said it's still too many. You're going to twist it, you're going to pervert it, you're going to say, look what we did when you get the victory. So God says, take them down to the river and test them there at the river. And those that lap with their hands, those that lap like a dog putting their mouth to the water, those that won't lay their weapons down, those that won't take and trust God totally, that lap like a dog, he said, those you don't take. He said, but those that lap with their hand, those that lay their weapon down, trust God to take care of them while they get a drink, he said, those are the ones you're going to take. He ended up with 300. God wants us to trust him. Psalm 62 and verse 8, trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. I like that word Selah, Pastor. One of our missionaries over in North Carolina, he said in North Carolina language, that word Selah means, what about that? I kind of like his definition. Amen. You read what God has said, and then you stand back and say, man, what about that? Trust in him at all times. Judges 7 and verse 18 to verse 20 says, and Gideon had taken the 300. He divided them into three companies, put an empty pitcher in each man's hand, put a lamp inside the pitcher, and a trumpet in the other hand. He said, look on me and do likewise. He said in verse 18, he says, when I blow with the trumpet, I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets on every side of all the camp and say the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. So Gideon, the 100 men that were with him, came unto the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch, and they had but newly set the watch, and they blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers that were in their hands, and the three companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers and held the lamps in their left hands, and the trumpets in their right hands should blow withal, and they cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Notice this next verse, verse 21. And they said, and they stood, every man in his place, round about the camp, and all the hosts ran and cried and fled. God's looking for somebody to stand in their place, amen. Nobody else can stand in my place. God's got a place for me to serve, a place for me to be obedient, a place for me to give to missions, a place for me to be in missions, a place for me to serve in the church. God's got a place for you, amen. Preacher, I don't know, but I'm pretty sure you don't have too many workers in your church. You're not turning them away. Too many people working the bus route. Too many people taking care of the church property. Too many people wanting to teach Sunday school. God's needing some people to step up and stand in the gap to make up the hedge for the land, amen, for the land that God will not destroy it, amen. The devil's doing everything he can to wreak havoc upon our world today. We need some people to step up and stand in the gap. So the first question, where are you? Where are you in your service for the Lord today? Where are you in your obedience to be where God would have you to be? People are dying lost and going to spend an eternity in a devil's hell. A week ago yesterday, I stood at a graveside of my 86-year-old brother that died lost and went to hell. And witnessed to him, preacher. Not only myself, but my son did, my other brothers and sisters did. And one of the last responses he gave was to his daughter when she said, "Daddy, don't you want to go to heaven? All you've got to do is ask God to forgive you and to save you." And he kind of mumbled something and looked away. Never responded again. I wonder if more people had stood in the gap to witness to my brother. Maybe he wouldn't have. I don't know. But there's people going to hell every day around our world. And we need somebody to stand in the gap to make up the hedge. We need people to step up and be a witness, be a voice, be a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. Second question. John chapter 5, verses 1 through verse 6. After this, there was a feast of the Jews. And Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem a sheep market, by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind and halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water, and whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lie and knew it had been now a long time in that case, saith unto him, "Wilt thou be made whole?" You're here this morning. Second question, if you're going to stand in the gap, you've got to be made whole. You can't do it in your own power, your own strength, your own abilities, your own intellect. You're going to stand in the gap when God enables us to do so. But you say, "Well, preacher, well, what if God don't enable us?" God's willing to enable anyone if they'll just respond like he says, "Wilt thou be made whole?" Do you want to be all that you can be for God? Amen. That's the question this morning. Do you want to be all that you can be for God? Amen. And you've got to surrender. You've got to give yourself over to him. Amen. You've got to allow him to be the Lord of your life. Amen. Not just your Savior, but allow him to be Lord. Allow him to control. Allow him to. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Amen. We've got to give him a control of everything in our lives. Amen. You'll not do for missions what you can do for missions till you let God take over everything in your life. "Wilt thou be made whole?" The impotent man answered him and said, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me." As long as you're looking to the preacher, you're looking to the church, you're looking to somebody else to do what you need, you can't stand in the gap. We're not qualified to stand in the gap. Until we're willing to submit to him, until we're willing to let him take control of our lives, amen? Until we realize where we are, amen, and we've got a gap between us and God in our fellowship, in our relationship, until we get that taken care of, amen? And it's the blood of Jesus Christ that does it, amen? Until he makes us whole, until he does what's needed in our lives, until he enables us. I remember when they asked me to be the director of training, and later became the director of education for our ministry. "Pastor, I said, what am I going to teach? I'm a younger man than some of these others that you're wanting me to teach." We had our first training class, and one of our missionaries at that time, Brother Donnie Moore, he'd been a chaplain at Brushy Mountain State Prison for many years, volunteer chaplain with Rock of Ages, and I'm going into the first class. I'm going to be teaching him, one of my students. And I'm saying, "Lord, what can I teach a man like that?" About halfway into the week, Brother Donnie came to me and he said, "Brother Robert," he said, "owe you an apology." I said, "For what, Brother Donnie?" He said, "I came into this week saying, what's Robert Keaton going to teach me?" God does the enabling. It wasn't me. It wasn't my intellect. It wasn't my doing. But when I submitted myself to stand in the gap to do what He would have me to do, He equips us for the job. He equips us for the task. Amen. When it comes to the missions giving, amen, it's He that's going to provide for you to give. It's not for me to figure out what I can do. It's for me to figure out what He wants me to do. Wilt thou be made whole? Let me give you a third question. I've only got, this interview is real short, preacher. There's only 97 questions. I'm just kidding. Third question. Matthew 16, verse 24 to 26. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he should gain the whole world and yet lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What is a man profited? What's your goal in this life? What are you shooting for? What are you aiming at in this life? Position, better wages. You know, it's amazing how that America has become so materialistic that not only does dad work, mom works, they both work overtime, they both work double jobs, they both work all for things. For things that are going to wear out, going to rust out, going to break, they're going to fall apart. But you know, when it comes to missions, what we invest in doing the work of God is for eternity, that one day when we stand before Him, our supply for their need, them being saved, will be they're supplying for our need, amen. We won't stand empty-handed before the Lord according to Corinthians, amen. We'll see God and giving back on the investment that we make in missions, amen. You can't outgive God. And you're giving out of His wealth, amen. Faith promises you trusting God to provide what you need, amen, for your needs, and you just take what you got and supply what God wants, amen. And God will bless, amen. That's faith promise, amen. It's not according to what I can work out on paper and see that it works, amen. It's trusting God for what He can do in my life. What can He trust you with? What does it profit a man if he gained the whole world and loses his own soul? Amen. You may get the best house, the best car, and God's not against you having good things. He's not against those things. But if that's the priority, amen, instead of souls being saved, something's wrong. Let me give you a fourth question. Matthew 16, verses 13 to 16. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? They said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Who is Jesus to you? Preacher, I dare say the majority, if not everyone in here, would say, well, He's my Savior. Is that it? If that's all He is to you, you're missing out. He's so much more than that, amen. He's my shield, my buckler, my tower. He's my defense, amen. He's my counselor, amen. He is so much more than just a Savior, amen. If that's all He is, that's just entry level, amen. You just got in the door. You've not enjoyed the fullness of Him. You've not enjoyed the blessings that He can be in your life, amen. Who is Jesus, but whom say ye that I am? He's so much more than that, amen. I mean, He's the bread of life. He's the water of life. Man, He's everything that you're ever going to need in this life. Right. Who is Jesus to you? Right. Preacher, I don't mean it wrong, but if He's just your Savior, you're not ready to stand in the gap. Because when the devil shoots his fiery darts at you, when the devil comes at you with everything he's got, you're going to need to see that he's your shield, your buckler, your tower, your defense. You're going to need to see that he's so much more than just your Savior. And if God's looking for somebody to stand in the gap this morning, he's looking for somebody to make up the hedge, amen, for this land, amen, for our nation. Hey, I love our nation. I love our country. I love America, amen. Hey, but I'm just a pilgrim here. I'm just a sojourner passing through. I'm representing my heavenly kingdom, amen, and I'm going to be the best that I can for my God where I am, when I can, every chance I get. That's what God's left us here for. But whom say ye that I am? Who is Jesus to you? Fifth question. Matthew chapter 20, verse 29 to 34. And as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David." And the multitude rebuked them, because they should hold their peace. But they cried the more, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David." And Jesus stood still and called them and said, "What will ye that I shall do unto you?" And they say unto him, "Lord, that our eyes may be opened, that we can go and see the Grand Canyon and the Grand Tetons." And yours don't read that way, preacher. You know, it's amazing how many people want God's blessing so they can do their thing. They want God to bless so they can go do what they want. Well, how many times have we said something like this? Well, when I got saved, God changed my wanter. I don't want what I used to want. And if God has truly changed that in your heart and in your life, notice what they did. "What will ye that I shall do unto you?" And they said unto him, "Lord, that our eyes may be opened." And Jesus had compassion on them and opened and touched their eyes. And immediately their eyes received sight. And look what they did. And they followed him. They didn't go do their thing. They went and followed him. Amen. They went and got behind the one that did what they needed in their life. Amen. And they're following him to do his will. Amen. To do his bidding. Amen. To go where he's at. Amen. To please him. To be with him. Amen. And that's what missions is all about. It's us giving ourselves over to him. Amen. To do what he wants done. Amen. What will you? See, if you can't answer that right, you're not fit to stand in the gap. You can't make up the hedge. Preacher, this church needs some people to stand in the gap to make up the hedge. Is not the devil making onslaughts against this church to battle you, to battle this church, to battle this work, amen? And you need more people to fortify, to make up the hedge, amen, even for the church. Sixth question. John 6, verse 65 to 69. And he said, "Therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given him of my Father." From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then Jesus said unto the 12, "Will ye also go away?" Peter answered right. He said, Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God." Pastor, you've been here long enough. You've seen some people in the days past that have said, "We'll never leave." But they're not here today. Every church has seen that. You may be somebody sitting here this morning that's it's not even in your mind to leave. But the devil's already working to get you to leave. The devil's already working to get you to throw in the towel, to get you to quit, to put some trial or some difficulty in your path, something that's going to cause you that stumbling block in front of you that's going to cause you to stop serving him. only by God's grace, only by His grace that we stand. It's not in our strength and our ability, amen. It's in Him this morning. He said, will you also go away? I'll give you a seventh question. Two more and I'll be done. Isaiah chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifice unto me? Now, when the Lord is saying this, preacher, am I not correct? Sacrifices were a requirement at this time. The children of Israel were to bring sacrifices for sin. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices to me, saith the Lord? Listen to his response. I am full of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. And then God makes this question, this statement in verse 12. It says, when you come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Why are you here this morning? I think you've got a pastor, and just what little time I've gotten to be around him, I think you've got a pastor that if you were not here this morning, next week he or somebody would be calling to see what's going on. Am I right? I wonder how many have come to church when your heart wasn't in it. You wasn't sold out to be here this morning, but you came so the preacher wouldn't call you next week. I wonder how many be honest, raise your hand and say, I've been there before. There's hands going up all over. If we're going to stand in the gap, we need to mature to a place where just God's Word and His Spirit. I don't have to be coaxed all the time. I don't have to be watched over. Now, I'm not saying we don't need a pastor, we don't need teachers, we need those things. Because we all hit our times and our moments when we need that extra shot of encouragement, amen. But if we're going to stand in the gap and make up the hedge for the land that did not destroy it, we need to become Christians, amen, with enough character about us, amen, that we're going to be faithful, amen. We're going to be obedient to His Word. We're going to stay in His Word. We're going to stay on our knees before God, amen. We're going to be faithful to serve Him regardless of what the world and the devil or anybody else does. And having done all to stand therefore. He's given us the armor. He's given us everything that we need. He's equipped us, amen, for the task that He's calling us to. And He's looking for somebody to stand in the gap this morning. Isaiah 6 and verse 1 through verse 8. I'm not going to read the whole passage. Very familiar passage of Scripture. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. It goes on to say how the angels took the live coal from off the altar and put it upon Isaiah's lips, for he said, I'm a man of unclean lips. But the question comes in verse 8. I also heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Isaiah's response then said, I, here am I, send me. God's looking for a man to stand in the gap. It's not just the missionary going to the foreign soil. It's not just somebody going to the jail. It's not just somebody going to another country. It's somebody that's willing to stand in the gap right here at Hunt Valley Baptist Church to make up the hedge here for the land, amen, for the land, for the nation, for the world, amen, for those that are dying lost without Christ, amen. God's looking for somebody to stand in the gap, somebody to make a difference, somebody to say, I'm here. God, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. question is this morning, will you say, Lord, here am I? You know, preacher, to some of your membership concerning missions, giving may be all that God requires. But there may come a time when giving, writing a check, or putting in some money in the offering isn't enough, that God says it's time to go. Well, let me rephrase that. Heard this definition some years back. Missions is somebody going somewhere to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. That's every one of us. That's every individual. Whether it be home to your family, whether it be across the street to your neighbor, whether it be across the aisle at work to a fellow worker. Everyone is to be a missionary. Everyone. If you name the name of Christ and He's in you, then every one of us have a responsibility to be a witness to those around us. And just dropping some money in the offering isn't it. Amen. That's part of it for the missions where you can't go. To send, we're to be a witness to every creature. And I can't be that to every creature where I can't be, but I can give to those that are. Missions is such an opportunity. And God's looking for somebody to stand in the gap this morning.